Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn, 3-1. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Malonzo, and Ew. Thanks for being here. 6 till 10 a.m. every weekday as we talk about sports and a variety of other things. A lady in Florida fought an alligator. You know, we got to talk about that.
All right.
Yeah.
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 You might need to send me that story.
Lady in Florida fought an alligator. I'll tell you why coming up later. This isn't your FM music talk show where it's like, here's a funny story we're going to talk about for 2 minutes and then play another song. No. This one's wild. So we'll get to that later on in the show. But we do have a lot of sports we got to talk about. Yesterday, I got sent a very interesting comparison of statistics about Cade Klubnik that I kind of feel like we have to get to a little bit later on in the radio program. It is a comparison of Cade Klubnik to the last five Clemson quarterbacks that have been starters at that university. And there's one number in particular, and it's a very big and very important number. And the...
Is that all of them, including the ones that were benched?
Yes, actually. DJ Uiagalelei is mentioned on this list, as a matter of fact. We will get to that. I'll say starting quarterbacks who played at least 14 games as a starter for this team. That includes Kelly Bryant, Taj Boyd, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, DJ Uiagalelei. We're going to get to that number because it was a number that I think both... It was a number that both surprised me and didn't at the same time. And I want to get to it because I do think it is going to be a stark revelation to some people. And I also think that it is an opportunity for reflection on some of the decisions that are being made by the people who pull the trigger on who's getting the start and who does not.
Ooh, I have a theory. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
We will find that out coming up a little bit later on in the show. We have also, later on in the show, got to hand out this week's awards. We will do that coming up a little bit later on in the program. In a tick over an hour from now, my former co-host and still friend on and off the air, Cody Decker, former Major League Baseball player, going to swing by. We'll talk to Deck about the MLB race to the postseason last night. Well, I'm going to actually talk about this here in a minute, so we'll save that. But we did have our first divisional champion crowned last night. We'll get into that with Cody Decker coming up in a little bit over an hour from now. And, of course, your thoughts on the text line and the phone line are always welcome at 844-326-3663. That is the number to call and get on the air. That is also the number to text for the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. We will read them on the show. Texter said, did I miss your thoughts on Spencer Rattler yesterday? Yes, you did, but I can bring that back up coming up here in a little while because we are going to have a conversation about quarterbacks in the National Football League. And more importantly, I think the public perception of quarterbacks around the National Football League. And we can absolutely include Spencer Rattler in that conversation because I have butted heads with many a Saints fan about Spencer Rattler and the numbers and the performances turned in. So I want to get to that coming up later in the show. But it is 7:04 in the morning, which means that you have now less than 56 minutes until you've got to be to the office. Now, no football tonight, no football tomorrow. Good news is you're only 2 days away from our next round of college and professional football starting up this Thursday and carrying us through the weekend. The bad news is you've got to kill 2 days to get there. The good news is that we're here to help you out with that every morning. The better news is that while you're at work and you do have to pretend like you care about it and you're not just killing time to pay the bills until Thursday, there are sports going on. And we're here to tell you about what the most important things you're going to talk about while you're killing time at work is. That's why we do this. Tis indeed the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning with your coworkers or your manager, your boss, whoever you spend the day talking sports with. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Allow us to dive right in, ladies and gentlemen, with item number one. We have got a handful of stories to discuss across the National Football League. We will start with our Monday Night Football games from yesterday evening with a minute and a half left to play in this game. The Houston Texans had, according to ESPN, a 90.2% chance to finish off the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then what happened? Baker Mayfield got the ball back in his hand. Baker Mayfield led the Buccaneers.
A little disappointed. There wasn't a lot of oomph in that one, but that's okay.
I'm still putting the
pacing yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
Got a lot of week left. Got a lot of week left. We're not even at the halfway point on Tuesday, and we got to work all 5 days this week. We got a lot of days left. Baker Mayfield takes the rock with just a handful of seconds remaining and leads the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on an 80-yard scoring drive to take the lead back from the Houston Texans with just seconds remaining, and sends the Texans to an 0-2 record to start the season. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now hold sole possession of the NFC South's first place position with a 2-0 record. Mayfield would finish the night 25 of 38 for 215 yards and a pair of touchdowns. And to answer a question that Lonzo asked me off the air earlier in the show, yes, I believe that if Tampa Bay was up 30 or down 30, Baker Mayfield would have punched Courtney Gardner-Johnson right in his face. CJGJ would have taken five to the mouth.
Wait, it's Courtney? Are you sure?
Is it not?
I don't.
Yeah, CJ Gardner-Johnson. I believe the first name is Courtney.
Okay, well, maybe it is.
Doesn't matter. CJGJ.
I have never heard his name other than CJ, so I mean, I guess it could be Courtney.
CJGJ.
Which is a good name for a girl.
Or a defensive back in the NFL who I 1,000% say you wouldn't say that to his face. That would be a guy who's fine with the name.
I'll Jim Rome anybody.
I bet you won't. Anyway, yes, I think Baker would have 5 to the mouth that dude if given the opportunity. Over in the other game, 20-9, the LA Super Chargers now find themselves. Here's a thing that is real. The Chargers are in sole possession of first place of the AFC West after elevating to a 2-0 record to start the season. Last night, a 20-9 win over their divisional opponent, the Las Vegas Raiders.
By the way, his first name is Chauncey.
Chauncey, not Courtney.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Don't put that on him.
Even if it was, who cares? Justin Herbert, 19 of 27, 242, a pair of touchdowns. Geno Smith was held to 24 of 43 for 180 yards. However, Geno was also picked off three times in this game. He was hassled a lot last night, like a lot last night. Could not get it done. Ashton Jante held to just 11 carries, 43 yards. It was just a tick shy of 4 yards a carry. You got to get this kid going. Like, you just got to give him more than 19 total carries for the Raiders.
By the way, don't sell the Chargers defense short. Their defense is pretty good.
Oh, it's a good defense. It's a good defense. I'm not just bashing the Raiders offensive line when I say that Geno was running for his life last night. He was also running for his life last night because the Chargers defense is good. However, in the rest of our NFL stories, it's not going to be quite as good as Khalil Mack left that game last night, ruled out after sustaining an elbow injury in the first quarter that appeared to leave him in significant pain. Mack attempted a tackle in the first quarter when his hand was caught between Chargers linebacker Troy Dye and Raiders wide receiver Trey Tucker. It turned his elbow in an awkward position. Mack jogged off the field, holding his left hand, stopped on the sideline, bent over in pain before he was taken back to the locker room. We do not have an update on the injury yet, but Khalil Mack is a bad mother shut your mouth, and you know if he left looking like that, it's not good. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels suffered a left knee injury last Thursday. His status for Sunday's game against said Raiders is now in doubt, according to head coach Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn did not elaborate on what the knee injury is, but did say that the quarterback has a sprain, would not say if it was a mild sprain, major sprain, or what degree or severity the sprain is, but did say that he is, quote, day to day, end quote, and that he does not yet know what that means for Sunday. J.J. McCarthy is going to be out for the Minnesota Vikings for at least a couple of weeks. A high ankle sprain is the diagnosis of an ankle roll sustained in the loss this past weekend. That means coming up as the Vikings and the Bengals play this weekend, we have got an NFL marquee matchup of Jake Browning versus Carson Wentz. It's going on the 75-inch, people. Going on the 75-inch.
There was a time when Carson Wentz was a name. Jake Browning never.
They're both names this weekend because they are QBs 1 and 1.
Don't you? I mean, JJ stunk it up and then suddenly he's hurt. I just find that suspect.
I'm not gonna.
In a Connor Stallions kind of way.
I'm not gonna make a run at a dude for an injury. But yes, JJ McCarthy did stink.
I will.
Jadeveon Clowney is now a Dallas Cowboys. He signed with the team and is expected to play when the Cowboys play coming up this weekend. They take on the Bears on Sunday. Clowney yesterday in the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, said that he does anticipate playing. He says he does not know what his snap count is going to be for that game, but he will be available for the Cowboys should they call on him. Let's go to item number two. The Braves open up their four-game set. It is their third-to-last series of what will mercifully be the conclusion of the 2025 baseball season, but they do get the win last night 11-3. I don't bring this up because we care about wins and losses anymore. I bring this up because Spencer Strider kind of looked like Spencer Strider again last night. 6-13 is his record on the season. A lot of those L's came after Strider returned from the Tommy John, went back onto the IR with a hamstring injury, and stacked some L's coming off of that. Just didn't look like the same dude. The control wasn't there. The velo wasn't there. Last night, Spencer Strider kind of looked like a guy. He's regaining the form a little bit. 7 innings pitched, just 4 hits surrendered, 1 earned run, K'd 6 in the process. The only shot that he gave up was a home run to Daylen Lyle, which came in the second inning. He would not give up another run outside of that. The Braves get the 11-3 win. I will ask this question later in the show, and I will ask it of Cody Decker in just over an hour when we get there. Is it okay for Braves fans to have a little optimism about next season while we are still wrapping up this season? You still got the young core. Spencer Strider looks like he's on his way back. The question is, who won't be with this team anymore? Who won't be a part of this? Marcelo Ozuna will probably not be here. Will Brian Snicker still be the manager? We'll find out. We'll talk to Cody Decker coming up a little while later on. Also in Major League Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies have clinched the NL East. It is their second straight NL East titles. The Phillies have existed for more than 140 years. This is the fastest in terms of days. This is the fastest they have ever won the NL East. A couple of years ago when they won it, they did it in 150 games. This year they did it in 151. However, it took them one more game, but one fewer day to claim the NL East crown. Back-to-back NL East titles, they sit 5.5 games ahead of the Dodgers for the number two spot in the NL, and that would earn them a first round bye. Again, Cody Decker coming up in a little over an hour to talk some baseball with us. We'll get to some other baseball headlines a little bit later on in the show, but before we get there, let's get to item number three. This may or may not be one that some of you think is worthy of a spot on the water cooler cheat sheet. It is to me. Netflix reported their numbers on the Terrence Crawford-Canelo Alvarez fight from the weekend. 41 million viewers tuned in for the undisputed super middleweight fight in front of a sold-out Allegiant Stadium crowd Saturday night in Las Vegas. Now, there's good news and there's bad news. According to Netflix, Canelo Crawford peaked at over 24 million concurrent streams, with the main event scoring an estimated average minute audience of 36.6 million live plus same day, meaning as that fight was happening, not folks who went back the next day because it was in the middle of the damn night, not who went back and watched it the next day, 36.6 million people watching the main event live. The event was number one on Netflix in the U.S. and in 29 other countries, including Mexico, Canada, Ireland, and Aussie, oi, oi, oi. It also was in the top 10 in 91 other countries. Also generated a gate of $47 million, which is the third largest in the history, or the largest in the history of the stadium, the third largest in boxing history. The only gates that drew more, Floyd Mayweather, versus Manny Pacquiao, which drew $72 million, and Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, which drew $55 million, and I hope you felt like you wasted your money on that fight. However,
I did not. I thoroughly enjoyed the fight.
Oh, yeah, super duper awesome. Yeah, and entertaining.
Listen, I'm giving Conor you my honest opinion here. Conor sitting in the corner. And Floyd cheating to win, yeah, because sure, he kept grabbing him, trying to get Conor to retaliate in an MMA way. We all saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't remember it. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
No, for
that's
sure. Yeah.
Listen, no, I don't regret paying for that.
Okay, good for you. I didn't pay for it. So the good news is,
it's because of your talent, you don't have to pay for anything. They pay for all your stuff.
When did that start? the good news for me as a boxing fan, this is the most watched title fight of the century so far. More people tuned in to watch this title fight than any other title fight so far in the 2000s period, point blank.
I wanted to watch, but I'm too old. I can't stay up that late.
I absolutely did, and it was worth it. It was a hell of a fight. We're going to talk about that coming up in a little while.
When did the actual fight start?
Oh, like just after midnight, I think.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
After the 30-minute walk-in for both fighters. I actually have a conversation I want to have about this a little bit later on the show. The good news is the most watched title fight of 2000s, of the 2000s. Here's the bad news. 41 million viewers. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson did 108. That's dumb and I hate it. It's dumb and I hate it. I hate it. It's dumb and I hate it.
Well, you're obviously in the minority.
It's dumb and I hate it.
Because a lot of people watched it.
Yeah,
If you
watched Paul Tyson and then you watched Alvarez Crawford, you actually got to see what boxing is and not grandpa versus jackass.
Yeah, if you actually watched the fight, you would know that there were actual boxing matches on that card that were really good. But no need to criticize the entire card when the rest of the card was legitimate boxing. So, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. so you would mm-hmm. condemn the whole thing just because of that.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Because, as is evidenced in this number, when their average was about 14 million for the undercard, and then you had 41 million watching the main event, Yeah, people aren't watching for the undercard. I hate it about boxing. Even boxing fans aren't watching the undercard. They watch main events. They watch the biggest names in the game, just like any other sport. So when you sell it as guy who's not a boxer versus a 60-year-old man, and that's the fight of the century, that's dumb and or bad. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. I mentioned that I have an interesting stat, I think, about Cade Klubnik that will stand in stark contrast to the other quarterbacks at Clemson over the past a lot of the years. I'll share that with you coming up here in just a little while on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Joey texted the show, said, Crawford v. Alvarez, man, that was the best fight I've watched since the Holyfield-Moore series in the 90s. It's a short segment, so I'm going to talk about that boxing match because, shockingly, we have, not shockingly, it was football day yesterday. Of course, it was reacting to football day. It's Tuesday. I can now. That fight was great. A couple of takeaways from the fight itself. Number one, Canelo Alvarez is always going to have, because of an interaction I had, well, that other people had with him that I witnessed, is always going to have a very special place to me. Canelo Alvarez was at the BMW Pro-Am. It was last year, the year before, that I saw this happen. When the celebrities come off of the 18th, they've just played a full round of golf. There's a billion people out there. They're on TV. Like, it's a lot. And so, understandably, most of the celebrities will, like, they may interact with the people that are right around them. There are a few of them that go above and beyond. Andy Buckley Jr. played David Wallace on The Office, one of my favorite shows of all time. He was fantastic. He was walking around and talking with anybody who wanted to interact with him. He was wearing a Dunder Mifflin golf polo shirt. Like, it was great. And then there are some other guys. I shan't mention anybody by name because I don't do that to celebrities unless they are like egregiously buttholes, which some people are.
They can't hear you.
No, it's
well,
just,
I guess they could if they just happened to be.
I know that people take stuff and run with it. And so I'm not going to name any particular. Like, there are some celebrities that I've seen be such an egregious jackass that I'm like, yeah, there's no avoiding that. That's not you had a bad day. You're just not a good dude. That I have named before. Emmitt Smith. I watched Emmitt Smith have an awful interaction with a kid one time. And I've never really been able to shake that from a guy that is from my area, from Pensacola. So there are some celebrities that as soon as they're done on 18, they're straight into the clubhouse. They're done. Like, they may pop some nucks here and there, but that's really it. Canelo Alvarez.
He said nucks, by the way.
Yeah, they gave a nux.
Wow.
4-1. You gave one back. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
So I will always have a spot for Canelo Alvarez because I watched him come off of 18, and there were probably, not exaggerating, probably upwards of 1,000 people, most of them who were clearly of either Mexican or of Mexican descent, who were there to celebrate Canelo Alvarez, who has been, yes, the greatest Mexican fighter, of my generation, maybe of many generations.
I think he's been a name for so long.
He really has.
You're surprised that he's still boxing.
Not just boxing at a high level. He was the super middleweight champ until Bud Crawford took that belt off of him. So watch this guy come off of 18. And I watched Canelo Alvarez have probably the next 6, 7, 8 groups of golfers go past him to the clubhouse because he shook every hand, signed every autograph, and took every picture that every one of those fans that showed up to support him asked them to. It was incredible. I don't think every celebrity needs to do that. In fact, I tell people all the time, it's nice if they do. Do not take it personally if they say no, because they are hounded by this all the time. It's nice if they do. We should absolutely celebrate celebrities, athletes, whatever, that take the time to interact, especially if they're one of those I'm staying until every autograph is signed kind of guys or guests. Canelo was that guy, and I respect the hell out of him for it. I will always have a soft spot for Canelo Alvarez. On top of that, Canelo Alvarez was just a hell of a fighter. Like, watching Canelo Alvarez fight for these years has been phenomenal. He is one of a very few fighters that I've been willing to go out of my way and pay good money to watch fight. Bud Crawford was a better fighter. Like out of the gate, like from round number one. If I was being generous to Canelo Alvarez, if I was being generous, maybe I could give him 2 of 12 rounds. Like, maybe I could give him 2 of 12. I don't think I could. I could give him one. I could make one a draw. I think 10 rounds, Bud Crawford was the better fighter. In fact, I tweeted out, I think in like the 8th or 9th round, I was like, Canelo Alvarez is out of time to win this fight by decision. If he's going to win this fight, he will have to knock Bud out. It has to be a stoppage here if he wants to win this fight. There's no other way. He cannot win this at this point via decision. Bud Crawford's just been the better fighter. My takeaway from that is it was a hell of an entertaining boxing match. Like, it was boxing. It was two guys with two different styles, capable of playing within their styles and reacting to the other guy. I gave a lot of credit to Max Kellerman for the way that he called this fight, because he was pointing out, like, all right, he switched to a southpaw. Alvarez at one point switched to a southpaw stance, and there was a lot of conversation about, is Crawford going to be able to adapt his style to mirror that? Is he going to be able to adapt his style to now having to worry about jabs coming from the other side? Hooks and crosses that he spent 4 or 5 rounds coming from one side, and he kind of got lulled into that, to then see them all of the sudden start coming from the other side of his defense. Is he going to be able to handle that? And the answer was yes. After the match was over, Kellerman had the take, and I thought it was a very good take of, Bud Crawford is in a very interesting spot here, because he has been consistently one of the best fighters of this generation, but there has been a lot of disruption in the sport. There was disruption due to COVID. There was disruption due to the Floyd Mayweather getting into the ring with Conor McGregor, Jake Paul getting into the ring with Mike Tyson, and all of these things kind of kept putting a shadow on what was a very good run from Bud Crawford. Here's the problem that I have. I'm glad that we got to spend tonight celebrating Bud Crawford. He deserved to be celebrated, not just for what he did with Canelo Alvarez, but what he did for his career. Here's the problem I have. The problem that I have is, outside of boxing fans, Bud Crawford wasn't getting promoted, right? Bud Crawford wasn't getting promoted over that. Like, he had had title fights. He had won titles. He had worked his way into being an absolute dude for years. And it's like, a lot of people heard about Bud Crawford for the first time because he was fighting Canelo Alvarez, when we should have been talking about this guy for a number of years. This is what I complain about with boxing. The fact that you had this guy who, yes, I think could have, should have, would have been considered a genuine generational fighter, and we basically got the promotion he deserved during his swan song only because he was fighting Canelo Alvarez and because they deserved that. But Canelo deserved it too. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right this moment, I brought up that Cade Klubnik stat earlier, putting him in a comparison and contrasting him with the last handful of quarterbacks to come through Clemson. And this jumped out at me to the point that I went and did actual Data-driven research. Oh, I know. That's exciting. If that doesn't excite you, nothing will.
No graph, right?
No graph. I could make one. You want me to? I can make one during the break.
I don't think you can.
I probably could. We'll see. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob, look at how many people are watching right now.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. So, yesterday, I received a Twitter DM from a fan of the show that put into comparison one particular number of quarterback Cade Klubnik with the last five quarterbacks of note of the Clemson Tigers. All of these guys who played at least 14 games as a starter. Those quarterbacks are Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Kelly Bryant, Taj Boyd, DJ Uiagalelei, along with Cade Klubnik. This is the record and winning percentage of those quarterbacks against Power 5 opposition. Trevor Lawrence, as we all know and have talked about, 31-2 against Power 5 teams. That is a 93.9% winning percentage. Deshaun Watson, 28-3. That is a 90.3% winning percentage. Kelly Bryant, who I have always put up, despite the fact that he does not have the longevity as QB1 for Clemson, I have always said I think Kelly Bryant deserves more credit for the time that he spent as QB1. 12-2 against Power 5 opposition. Taj Boyd, 26-7. That is a 78% winning percentage. Kelly Bryant's was 85%. The worst not named Cade Klubnik was DJ Uiagalelei. Career record 18-6 against Power 5 opposition. That's a 75%. Cade Klubnik, 15-11. That's a 57.7% winning percentage. So then I got curious, and I wanted to go look at Cade Klubnik's numbers in two categories. Number one, against all Power 4 opposition. I did not include the Pac-12 because most of these teams are in the Big Ten now, but all included games started by Cade Klubnik against teams in the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. And then break them out against teams from those four conferences that were ranked at the time of the game. All right? Now, this does not take into consideration teams like last year's Florida State were ranked, but then they tanked, et cetera, et cetera. This is games that were against ranked opponents at the time of the game. And then I looked at the numbers in those games, and here's what I came up with. Including this year, looking at these numbers, Cade Klubnik is, in all included games, combined starts against SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and Big 12 teams, ranked and unranked, 530 of 854, with a 62% completion percentage. His touchdown to interception ratio is exactly 2-1. 32 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Against teams that were ranked at the time. Against teams that are ranked at the time, which does not include Georgia Tech this year because they were not ranked, but I think we can put them in the mix. But without them included, 156 of 250 against ranked teams. That is a completion percentage of 60.76% and a touchdown to interception ratio that sits at about 0.5-1. It's not ideal. This is why, Clemson fans, and I will acknowledge that I was absolutely in on the Cade Klubnik for Heisman talk at the beginning of the year. I saw the Diesel and Cole put out every afternoon. They put out a little teaser for their live stream with one or two of the topics they're going to talk about. And I saw one the other day that said something along the lines of, and some of y'all had Cade Klubnik for Heisman conversations. Are you serious? I was like, yeah, I was, because the numbers were there. But after I got that stat, after I got that number forwarded to me yesterday by a Clemson fan, and I went and I broke down those numbers into Power 5 opposition and then ranked Power 5 opposition, it's just not there. The numbers just aren't, they're mid. They're mid at best against the best teams that Cade Klubnik has played during his time at Clemson. The numbers just aren't there. And I want to ask Clemson fans, what should I think about this? I'll tell you what I do think about it. What I do think about it is, since Trevor left, you've had back-to-back misses at quarterback. Because I think that, and this is something that had you said to me before the season started, I would have said absolutely not. And I'm not saying that there is not time to fix it. What I'm saying is fixing it would require Cade to go against, because the new Rob Brown philosophy on football is what's on tape. The most important thing is what's on tape. Before everything else, the most important thing is what's on tape. What have you shown me? And you can put something that's bad on tape and I can go, all right, that's real bad on tape, but I can work with this, right? If it's a mechanic, I said this about Spencer Rattler yesterday. You look at what's on tape for Spencer Rattler. Don't look at his 0-8 record. Look at what's on tape. And what you will see is a guy that last year played behind a hodgepodge offensive line made up of plumbers and electricians from around the Big Easy because that's all they could get healthy. And this year, you were looking at a spot where off the top of my head, there are at least 7 drops. 3 of them would have been touchdowns for Spencer Rattler. I can work with that. The statistics don't necessarily bear that out, but I can work with that. I don't know that I can work with this, right? And so it says to me at this point, that even though we bought into the hype, and I'll say even though I bought into the hype coming into the year, I think at the end of this year, especially if it doesn't get fixed immediately. And again, we can blame this on play calling. We can blame this on Dabo Swinney. We can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. We can put the fault wherever the fault lies. But the reality of the situation here is, if you want to talk about national championship quarterbacks, this isn't necessarily exclusive, but it is the truth, I think, as often as it is not. More often than it is not. If you want to talk about teams that are national championship caliber teams, you need to have a quarterback that doesn't necessarily turn coal into diamond, but at least can take nothing and make it something, right? If you want to be upset about the play calling for Garrett Riley, or where I put the blame, which is Dabo Swinney. But if you want to be upset about the play calling for this football team, that is 100% fair. I actually agree with you on that, regardless of where you want to put the blame for it, whether it is Dabo or whether it is Garrett Riley, if you want to put the blame on someone, not Cade Klubnik, I'm good with that. But what I am going to say is, when I look at that Georgia Tech game this weekend, for instance, the interception that was thrown when you were in the red zone and scoring territory, a touchdown that, or even a field goal, that likely changes the outcome of that game. The throw that Cade made that got picked off was a bad throw. It was just bad throw. It was not seeing the field. It was not understanding what Tech was trying to bait you into doing. And then it was doing what they were trying to bait you into doing. Like, it just, what it just, there's, that's not redeemable by, well, it's a bad play call. No, one, you had a guy open. You just missed the dude who was standing in that passing lane. And yes, granted, it was a Herculean snag. It was the leaping interception that was made. It was a Herculean snag. There are not a ton of athletes that will be able to pull off the Linda Cone for the love of elevation to get up and grab that rock.
Well, in the end, I mean, at least for now, Cade's your guy if you're a Clemson fan, because Dabo's not going to bench him.
I don't disagree. Here's the concern. This is why this is a conversation to me. Anything less than 10-2, the rest of the ride, you're not going to the playoffs. Anything less than an, scratch that. Anything less than an ACC championship, you're not going to the playoffs.
There we go.
Okay? But here's the thing, with what I'm seeing from...
Remember, it looked bleak last year, and then they made their way somehow into the ACC championship.
I don't disagree. How did they make their way into the title game? Because Miami slammed the door on their own genitalia. That's why. They didn't get in because they earned it in. They got in because Miami screwed the pooch and lost to Georgia Tech.
I said made their way. I couldn't remember the details. I didn't think it was because of winning.
Miami beat Georgia Tech as they should have in that game. Miami's in the ACC title game last year with SMU. So, with that being said, this isn't good enough. And the concern for me isn't even this year. The concern for me is, you can say whatever you want about Vezina or any of the guys coming up through the program. At this point, why am I to believe the hype about the next Clemson quarterback? You have missed on back-to-back. Two in a row. You have missed. And I'm not even talking about, like, a guy that's good enough. I would ask Clemson fans right now to be honest with yourselves. Is the way that this offense is working right now, even if you make it to an ACC title game, and in a year, by the way, which I said to a friend of mine yesterday, I don't know that there is a standout, excellent team this year.
Well, are you talking about period or
talking about
ACC?
In college football?
I was going to say Miami and Florida State are good. I mean, you were right about the ACC, by the way. It pains me to say. But
a lot of football left.
Yeah, there is. But so far, you're right. There are three or four teams that can win the ACC, and it doesn't look like Clemson's in the mix.
It doesn't. Right now, even in a year, which I would say, we got weeks left to determine it. It's really because most teams have only played like one game, right? With a couple of exceptions. Notre Dame, who's 0-2 and still in the top 25. Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. Right now, is the offense you're playing right now, is it good enough to win a playoff game? The answer is no. Right now, the offense you're playing isn't good enough to win an ACC championship game, which I think is your only ticket to the playoff at this point. Because I'll keep it a buck. I think there's another loss coming somewhere for Clemson. And right now, today, it's early. Right now, it's Florida State. But we'll come back to that. And maybe SMU. But SMU had themselves a little bit of a little bit. They lost the game the other day. So like maybe put them down too. My question is the offense you're playing right now good enough? The answer is no. And we can blame it on the play calling, but I also think if you're watching the games to some degree, you got to put it on Cade Klubnik a little bit as well. And if you missed on DJ Uiagalelei after all the hype you had around him, and you missed on Cade Klubnik after all the hype you had around him, and the commitment you had to those two guys in the process, my question is, why am I going to get excited about the next guy? Should you get excited about the next guy? Or should the focus be put somewhere else? Because so far, it hasn't been. Where do you land on that? I don't think I'm being dramatic. I think looking at these numbers, it pretty much stands out that that's the case. I don't think I'm being dramatic. I think looking at these numbers, it's pretty obvious he's not a high caliber quarterback. It's a miss. He can go out there and beat Pitt. He can go out there and beat Wake Forest. He can beat NC State. He can win those games. But he can't beat playoff caliber teams. So again, as I said yesterday, if you are fine just being a team toiling around, maybe occasionally threatening an ACC title game, cool, change nothing. But if not, how am I supposed to get excited about the next guy when the guy that you spent the offseason selling me as a Heisman finalist has given me nothing to be excited about? I think it's a fair take. All right, when we come back, we'll get your audio blitz. We'll talk to Cody Decker, former MLB player, as we get set for the MLB postseason. All that and more coming up after this five-star sports flash. Why'd I say it like that?
I don't know. It's weird. The LA Chargers are 2-0 after a 20-9 win over the Raiders. Justin Herbert had another big game, going 19-27 for 242 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Geno Smith was picked off three times in the losing effort, and rookie Ashton Jeanty was held to 43 yards. Baker Mayfield led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on an 80-yard touchdown drive for a 2019 win over the Houston Texans last night. Mayfield finished the night 25-38 for 215 yards and a pair of touchdowns, while the Bucs ran for 169 rushing yards. Tampa holds sole possession of first in the NFC South with a 2-0 or a 2-0 record. The Atlanta Braves open up a four-game road set with the Nationals with an 11-3 victory. Spencer Strider got the win, giving up four hits and one run with six strikeouts across seven innings, hurling 91 pitches. Atlanta had their best offensive night in weeks, racking up 16 hits.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.